Hello, everyone, and welcome to Our Stories, lively and direct from the production studios at community radio station KHMB, 100.9 FM and 1710 AM. This podcast is a collection of news stories from CoastSideNews.com, publishers of the Half Moon Bay Review and the Pacifica Tribune. This podcast is a collaboration between the nonprofit Coastal Literary Arts Movement, Coastside News, and KHMB Radio. I'm David Gorn. We have to talk about e-bikes on the coastside. It's a really complicated conversation because what are they really? Are they bicycles? Are they more like mopeds? Are they motorcycles? Can we do anything about them? Should we do anything about them? We'll get into it. So first,
3, 2, 1, go!
One other big event on the coastside was a nerdathon that was the high school robotics competition. It had high-tech teams from all over California, and they all descended on Tiny Half Moon Bay. Proving that, yes, nerds are really fun people, and they get worked up like everyone else. Hold on. We will definitely get back to the robotics championship, but we have to slow down for a second. First, we're going to hit the e-bike topic. E-bikes are confusing to people. There are different classifications of them, but also they just don't fit with what we're used to. I see e-bikes on the highway. I see them on the bike trails, on the streets, on the sidewalks. They're like a bicycle that can go on streets like a motorcycle. They're a motorcycle that can go on sidewalks and trails like a bike. So what are they? With us, we have Chris Johnson. He's former Mid-Coast Community Council member and an avid biker, one of the guys behind the original El Granada pump track. Chris Johnson, welcome.
Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Good to see you. So we had a tragedy recently, obviously. Everyone's been talking about the high school kid who died in an e-bike crash, but you have been talking about e-bikes and the difficulties presented by e-bikes for years now.
To me, one of the aesthetic issues I have with e-bikes, a bicycle is literally a perfect invention. It requires zero, no external fuel source of any kind, not polluting in any way. A basic bicycle is a perfect invention. It didn't need anything. This is cult of technology stuff of like, well, let's automate it and power it, and now you don't have to do it.
To me, they look like cheating. To me, they're like, okay, you're going faster than I'm driving in a car, and you're not pedaling. I get the feeling that people think of them as bicycles. That's why they're allowed on the trails and so on. But, you know, we don't allow mopeds on the coastside trail because they're loud. And I get the feeling that e-bikes are being given a little bit more leeway because they don't make noise, but they still go really, really fast.
I mean, the fact that they don't make noise makes them way more dangerous than a gas-powered vehicle. You can't hear them coming. Those should be regulated in the exact same way as a gas-powered motorcycle.
Okay, so we're going to get to, like, what do we do about it in a second. But I wanted to just address the safety factor for a second because I'm amazed. I see a lot of kids riding without helmets. But I've also seen 3 kids on a bike, on an e-bike.
Yep.
I've seen a kid pull a wheelie on a city street, the length of a city street.
I see a kid almost not every day, but at least once a week, the same kid riding an e-bike, going the opposite way of traffic on the shoulder of Highway 1, phone in one hand, no helmet, one hand on the bike, looking at the phone, going faster than I am in my car.
All right. So we're properly appalled. So
I am appalled, sir.
So we have regulations for motorcycles. We have regulations for mopeds. We have regulations for bicycles. But we don't really have regulations for this. So, I mean, motorcycle, you have to take a test to ride a motorcycle. You have to wear a helmet. You have to get a different license. You can't just use a driver's license.
Yep.
So where are we headed?
Yeah, I mean, the regulatory situation is behind the curve. This new class of conveyance kind of grew up organically ahead of the curve of the regulation of it. And the problem is now they're fully ensconced in society and being used, and the rules are way behind. And so it's like, how do you, the horse is out of the barn. Now what are you going to do? It's going to be really hard to start banning e-bikes from bike paths and stuff where they've been allowed to go. The bike industry has been really intentional about calling them e-bikes, even these ones that can go over 30 miles an hour. And some of these ones, you go online, you look at them, and they look like, you know, missiles that you would see in professional motorcycles.
They're so badass.
But they've got these little tiny cranks and pedals so that they can be called a bicycle as opposed to a moto, even though they can go 30-plus miles an hour and weigh over 100 pounds.
Right.
So I looked at the ordinance proposed by San Mateo County, but I have no confidence. It's really a morass in terms of like the different levels of e-bike. There's three different categories of e-bike, and then there's e-motos. If anything good could happen towards regulation, it may be the result of something like the accident we had a couple weeks ago.
Right. I mean, that's what I've always thought that's going to take.
Why do we even need to talk about a different classification? Okay, we have rules for bicycles and we have rules for motorized vehicles. Motorized vehicles are not allowed on the bike path, so neither should these e-bikes.
I also know that among the people who like e-bikes and e-motos, there's a real strong counterculture.
Yes.
And so I get this feeling like the more rules and regulations you pass is like a roadmap for them of what they're not going to do. Because I'm not going to wear a helmet and I'm not going to go where you want me to go because I'm badass.
Yeah.
So how do you approach it?
Parents really need to step up and take some responsibility. These kids are not buying these $4,000 e-bikes with their allowance. Parents are buying them and then just saying, here, go ride your bike.
Go be cool. Because it does make you cool. Like if you're in middle school and you have an e-bike, oh man.
That's true.
You are the one.
That's true. I feel like this is a political response, but the practical application of these new ordinances, I don't feel like there's going to be any relief to the situation.
That's kind of where we're headed when Cash died. It's prompted a lot of talk. There's going to be more accidents and more injuries and more near misses, and maybe that's where we'll change things.
This is what the inevitability was going to be. This is what I would always say. Like, it's a slippery slope, and at some point, one of our children is going to be killed.
So thank you very much, Chris Johnson, for joining
David,
me.
Thank you for having me on, and thank you for having this discussion. I really hope that people listen to this and just think about it. Okay,
yeah.
I don't want to come to somebody and say you have to do this or that, but think about it.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
Thank you, David.
And now we have to switch gears. I'm going to switch gears pretty quickly. So think about this. You're walking down Kelly Street, you hear noise coming out of the Boys and Girls Club gym. Go a little closer. Go ahead. Careful. It's really loud in there. And kind of crazy. This is the first robotics competition where 900 students from all over California, that came from Los Angeles, Sacramento, and of course Silicon Valley, all tried to out-robot each other and to prove what everyone at this event already knows, that tech is cool.
And from right here in Half Moon Bay, it's the Pumpkin Box.
The local Half Moon Bay team, Team 8793 this year, is better known as the Pumpkin Bots. They started up in 2022 and actually made it all the way to the World Championships that year. Eli Dill was on the team then, and today he's home from studying mechanical engineering at the University of Portland in Oregon, home for the week so that he can be a mentor for the current Pumpkin Bots team. Back then, he had no idea what to expect, he says.
Yeah, we were like, this is more than we could ever ask for, you know. We didn't expect to do well in our even first competition.
In fact, at first, they were, well, slow out of the gate.
So we got to our first competition and we loaded in for the first time, first match, and we're like finally getting through inspection. It took like a whole day. It was not seamless. We had so many problems. And you know, the match starts, it's like 3, 2, 1, and you're like, go. And the robot turns on, like turns a little bit, turns off. We're like, great. It moved.
You have to.
Let's go. Yes.
His dad, Franz Dill, is standing in the pit, a big room away from the competition where the teams work on their bots. He says there's a surprising amount of pressure here.
There's an emotional component to it. You're in a high-pressure situation, a lot of people watching. The other team that was next to us, they're a pretty small team. They're 2 years in. I just talked to the mentor. They've got about four kids, and one of their kids, who is the main driver and software programmer, was in the bathroom vomiting.
The robotics team is hanging out in the pit, trying to repair their bot in between matches.
We have to do this in like 10 minutes, or we're going to forfeit our match.
You need that, and you need a drill. It's like NASCAR. Yeah.
Tyler Handel and Maya Duncan are explaining to the judges how it works.
It's printed with two low wall layers. So we're
printing
it
right now.
So this is a spare, and then you make a third spare?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then another thing, in practice matches we found out, another thing that we...
The idea is that the bot has to pick up as many balls as possible and shoot them into a tall receptacle. It uses sensors and video equipment and a double rotational axis, says Eli Dill.
Our turret has two axes of rotation, 2 degrees of freedom. It's the traverse part, so the aiming, and then also it has up and down, so you can change the angle at which the balls are going. And in order to actuate that angle change, we basically have a rack and pinion style mechanism.
At the end of the two-day event, the pumpkin bots came in fourth, and they won something called the Industrial Design Award for coming up with their unusual robotic concept. Next up is a Central Valley regional competition in Clovis. The team heads down there later this month. Gotta be fun, right?
They put up two rare and they have it! As time expires!
And that is our stories for the week. That was pretty packed. I would like to thank Chris Johnson for helping me understand e-bikes. And congratulations to the entire Pumpkin Bots team for doing so well and also for being seriously entertaining. The students are Gabriel Basil, Elena Dardanelle, Maya Duncan, Tractor Forster, Leon Gazdag, Tyler Handel, Cooper Lee Clay, Lorenzo McCune, Alexander Nunez, Marshall Patton, and Zaki Shimisa. And thanks to mentors Franz and Jen Dill, Eli Dill, Sean Handel, and Petra and Steve Patton. Thanks, of course, to KHMB station manager Jim Henderson and engineer Jay Michaels. Thanks to Coastal Lit for the ongoing support. And big thanks to podcast sponsor, the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company. And thanks to you for listening. We'll do it again in 2 weeks on KHMB Radio, Wednesday at 6 p.m. on the Coastside News website, on Spotify and other apps. Adios.